Let us do the deed. Question number one. After the Gemara gives the answer that Tsar is Tsar Pisa for lying, what does the Gemara ask? They ask, maybe Mefata is different from Ones. Why is Mefata different from Ones? After all, Mefata also is Tsar Pisa for lying. The Gemara answers by saying, well, it's like the person who says, Krashi Shirayin Shalevi Pater, that you Pater. So she did it voluntarily. So then the Gemara says, that's nice, but the Shirayin don't belong to her. They belong to her father. At the end of the sugya, Rav Nachman brings the teretz, which is that a mefata ein latzar, mefuta ein latzar. What does the Gemara ask? Which is, what do you mean? Women do experience pain, and the answer is, three terutzim are given to explain why the tzar of and a mefuta is fairly minimal. Either like hot water on a bald person's head, like the needle that the bloodletter pricks with initially, or like if you get hard bread being rubbed against your palate. Okay. Question three, according to the Gemara, who can be remained neged kiddushin by mefata? And the bein hi bein aviha, the makar is, the father's explicit, and the Gemara learns seemingly from a ribui, it does learn from a ribui, in yima'ein, no, they don't, maybe not a ribui, might not be a ribui here, but it looks like a ribui, ma'ein yima'ein, ein le'avia hi minayin tamalomar ma'ein yima'ein. Masha?
Yeah, where do we learn that
mefata
from?
Mefata atzmo? I don't talk about that here in this question. How do we know? How do they learn mefata? Because mahar yimaren aloli shamidaita. That's how. Yeah, but that was. It's important to know that. But that wasn't. I wasn't asking. I was asking about the brisa. But yes.
Okay.
So you don't have to talk about mefata. What's the makar by ones? Who can refuse? There, obviously, it's only the father and the daughter. The makar is. For her, velo siyel isha midaita, and the father, either according to Abaye, shelo yechote niskar, according to Rava, it's a kal v'chomer from Mefata. By Mefata, he was over only aldas aviha, here he was over aldas atzmo, kal v'chomer, the father can refuse. Question number five, what three questions did Tosfos ask on the fact that the Gemara says both the father and daughter can be mimayim? Question number one, what good does the mi'un of the daughter do? If the father can be mekadosh her anyway against her will. And number two, if you assume that we're dealing with the Yisoma or Bogeris, where the father can't be mekadosh her against the will, either because he has no control or because he's dead, in those cases, why she need a pasuk to tell us that the girl can refuse? Otherwise, it would be chote niskard, be mefata a girl, or rape a girl, and now she's yours. And question number three is, why do you need a pasuk for the father afterward to tell us the father can be mine, the same svara? Why should a chote be niskard? Question number six, what did the Re answer to solve the questions and explain how each one fits? So the Re says that even though the Miyun doesn't work, it works to be Mechayevim Kanas. So in other words, yeah, Inachanami, she'll be married if the father wants to marry her anyway, but nonetheless he has to pay Kanas because she was Mima Enes. And this explains now the Chiddush of the Torah now is not that she has the right to be Mimayin or the father has the right to be Mimayin. The Chiddush of the Torah is that if one of them is Mimayin, you pay knas. In the case of the girl, if she's mima enes, you pay knas even though she's getting married to him. In the case of the father, that even though the father was the one who refused to let the shidduch be, nonetheless, the mefata still has to pay the knas. Now, one might have thought that it's only if the mefata refuses to marry her that he has to pay the knas, because, he broke it and he doesn't want to buy it, so it won't make him pay anyway. Question number seven. What does it mean, the words, v'chein b'miyun aviha, in the teretz of the Re? We suggested that it meant that what I just explained, which is not it's not there to teach us that the father has the right to be mimayin, but to teach us that if the father is mimayin, even though he was the one responsible for the shidduch not going through and not the mefata, nonetheless he has to pay knas. The Maram understood the words v'chein b'biyun naviha is that if it's a case of yisoma or a bogeres where the father has no control anymore. Thank you. Fair enough, Shlayan. By the case of Bogeris, if the father came back from the grave, what would it then be if he came in a vision and said, I refuse? Okay, fine. I don't know, but presumably that doesn't happen. We don't have to answer that question. So if she's a Bogeris, and now the father has no right to refuse, so in that case, Tosis is saying, you pay Knas as well, even though she's the only one with the right to refuse. And she says, I'm happy to marry you. Since the father said, I don't like the marriage, even though it happens, the Mefata has to pay Knas.
What was our suggestion?
Our suggestion was, means that even though the father is the one who's refusing, and as until now we thought that the pasuk was telling us the father has the right to refuse. Now what we're saying, no, the pasuk is telling us that if she refuses, even though the shidduch goes through, or if the father refuses, even though he had the power to make the shidduch and chose not to, in both cases, you pay knas. That's what Rechem B'mi Adavia. Not a case where he has no control, a case where he does have control, but despite the fact that he's the one who's not allowing the shidduch, the mefatah still has to pay.
Is that different than the Maram?
Yeah, the Maram is saying Rechem B'mi Aviha is the case. He might agree with the din. He said Rechem B'mi Aviha means if the father has no power and he refuses, but she chooses to marry him, there's still knas because the father was a nine.
Is that the same din then?
It's the inverse. He says it's the inverse of the first din.
Okay,
but we thought that it's not. I thought that wasn't what it meant. Okay. Question 8. What additional question did Tosfos ask on the words of Abaye? Im lo yichnos, and how do they answer? So according to the Riz Teretz, you're chayiv to pay even in a case where you are konis the girl. Right? Abaye had said that the mefata only pays kishelo yichnos. But now you're saying that if the daughter says, I don't want to marry him, the father says, too bad, I'm marrying you off anyway. So under those circumstances, you pay konas. So hare konas. And nonetheless, he pays knas. So you have to say, what was the expression? Im lo yichnos midaita. I wanted the beginning of it. In other words, the mefata pays knas either if he doesn't marry her, or if she's not willing in the marriage, even though the father doesn't. But if he marries her, and she's willing, she's happy for it, then there is no knas. Question 9, what was Tosus's question for the Gemara later by Yimayin? Yimayin, the Gemara learns that l'rabos es hayisom ala knas. And the question is, how do you use the pasuk for two things? The first answer Tosfos gives is because you can darshan two things when the Torah says in ma'ein yima'ein, because if it only wanted you to darshan one thing from the ribui, the Torah could have written ma'ein ma'ein or yima'ein yima'ein. And therefore, you can learn two things. The question that Tosfos had on the first teretz, which is really on how to read the Gemara there later. The Gemara there was trying to use that drasha, the Rabba Sasei Yisom Laknas, to prove that Motzi Shemra should also be chayav by Yisoma. So Tosa says, if you're really just learning the din of Yisoma from, if you're learning the din of Yisoma B'Knas from a Riboy, if that's really Riboy, in fact, going back to what I said before, Maskana, both answers at Tosa's, in our Gemara, that the fact that she has the right to be ma'enis is definitely a riboy. But there it looks like it's a riboy also. So Tosa says if it's a riboy, how do you know that the riboy for a yisoma, the knas, helps you for motzi shemra? Wherever the Torah was marbet, it was marbet. Where it wasn't marbet, it wasn't marbet. So Tosa says that no, there's not a riboy there. The din is all learned from the pasuk here. It tells you that the fact that the daughter can be ma'enis shows you that the knas can sometimes go to the daughter. Because the second Teretz of Tosfos assumes that there's no such thing as miyun if it doesn't work. If the daughter's miyun didn't put a break and stop the marriage completely, there would be no knas. Meaning if the daughter said, I don't want to marry him, the father said, I'm marrying off them anyway, the mefata doesn't pay knas. So Tosfos says, once that's the case, once the chiv of knas is tolui on the effectual nature of the miyun, the fact that it works, so the fact that the Torah says the daughter can be ma'enes, and that he pays knas, not that she can be ma'enes, but that you pay knas to the mi'un of the daughter, shows you that sometimes the mi'un of the daughter works. When does the mi'un of the daughter work? By bogeres, by yisoma. So from that, what do you see? That there's knas to a yisoma. Because otherwise, why would the mi'un be mechayev a knas if the mi'un doesn't? If the miyun is, well, meaning, in other words, if it's ineffectual. Okay, so once you say that, obviously the kuda chashuva that changes is, to go to question 11, according to Adin, the question is the knas talui upon the act of miyun, or is the knas talui upon the non-contracting of a marriage? That's what it boils down to. Satisfied? You'll take credit, even if you didn't say it exactly. I think you did. You said it well. Whatever you said, I don't know if that's what they said. You said it well then. Okay, before I forget, I want to apologize. Schleien got honorable mention. I didn't get honorable mention. But Moshe did not get his honorable mention on question number 43.
But you did spell Danny's last name wrong.
I didn't know how to spell it, so I did. If you figured out who I was referring to, that's sufficient.
Okay. For future reference.
And what did you want me to write? Okay. All right. Fine. I whispered it. I didn't say it. Fine. Question number 12. According to Pshita Shemikra, which opinion in Tosfos is correct? The answer is the second teretz. In other words, it means that the guy didn't marry her. He pays the mohar psulos as a substitute for marrying her. According to the pshat and the brisa, which is the correct opinion, the first teretz in Tosfos, because when the brisa presents eimei elavia himinai, it sounds like it's the same case, and either the father or the daughter can refuse. Okay, question number 14. What is the machlokas Rav and Rav Asi bin Yikatanish and Iskatsha Shaladas Avia? According to Rav, both can back out. I mean, the daughter can back out before the father hears and says yes. And the father can say no when he hears. According to Rav Asi, only the father can change his mind. What yisod is the idea that the father agreeing after the fact works? And what kasha would you ask on Shitas Rav? So the yisod is that if a man says to his daughter, Tziva kabli kesef kidusheich, and she goes and accepts Kiddushin, it works. And the kasha, of course, is, how does it work? After all, he can't appoint her a shaliach, because there's no shlichos for a katana. Therefore, what it means is that a katana can be, in other words, can have Kiddushin as long as the father expresses his willingness. She can actually have the act of Kiddushin. So the kasha we had is, though, what does it mean? And when the father's in Israatza, what does it mean? It means that retroactively, we see that the father agreed to this marriage. It's as if he had said to her, Tziva kabli kesef kiddushin. The problem is, if that's the case according to Rav, why does the daughter have the right to be ma'akev later on? Because after all, if the father says yes, his ritzui works l'mafreya from the time she accepted the kiddushin. If it didn't, it wouldn't work in the first place. He can make new kiddushin when he hears, but Tziva kabli kesef kiddushin shouldn't work. But it has to work l'mafreya, and in which case, why does Rav say that the equal of the daughter matters. I told you to look in the Ritva. I don't remember what he says. We didn't look at it in Shir. But that was an Ayin. So he does address this question, I believe, but I don't remember off here what he says. Okay. Question 16. According to the Maskana of the Gemara, is Mefata L'Shem Ishus or Shalol L'Shem Ishus? Machlokas Rabbi Yosef and Abaye. Rabbi Yosef says it's certainly dealing with Shalol L'Shem Ishus because she requires Kiddushin to make a marriage. Abaye was docha and said, it's not mochach, it's possible that pita l'shem ishus, it's pita l'shem ishus, but it doesn't work because you need kiddushin l'das avir. Question 17, how does the Ramban answer Tosfos' kasha? The Ramban says what it means, he yechol la'akev and he's chayiv nas, of course it means there's no marriage. But how does that come about? It means the father was tovea the guy to within Torah. And the guy says, I want to marry your daughter. And the father says, okay, fine. And now the daughter starts screaming, Abba, I don't want to marry him. So the father says, well, you know, if that's the case, then I don't want the marriage. So there the father was really disratzev, but it's the ikuv of the daughter that makes him unwilling to pull the trigger, and therefore they don't get married. So the Ramban says that's called the ikuv of the daughter. In that case, even though the father consented, nonetheless he pays kanas, despite the fact that he consented after her mother did. And the answer the Ramban is docha is that the father says, whatever she wants, I want. So the Ramban says, that's not the ikuv of Abbas, that's the ikuv of the father. Okay. That's a little like the mission of us. Ase ritzono kirtzomcha, kidei shehu yasa ritzon acherim, you know, kirtzom, something like that. Hu bidocha ritzon acherim, ritzon acherim. All right, question number 18. How does the Ran answer Tosfos' kasha nagei ones? Is that in ones, the Ran claims that the father cannot marry her off against her will to the rapist. He can marry to anybody else against her will, but not to the ones.
He also has the other answer of Rumiyu and only impacting.
I like Tosfos. I know. But
I want to sound like Tosfos. I mean, only impacts his chiyuv to
pay kanas. That's Tosfos number one. That's the right.
Okay.
Fine. Question. I deserve that for spelling your name wrong. Okay. Fine. Question number 19. Machloka satana ben ksuba lema'anis. According to the Tanakhama, there's no ksuba because he can't divorce her, so she's not kala by nafotzia. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said that the way the Gemara explained it, although I didn't ask this in the question, is that he'll make her life miserable and she'll want a divorce. Okay. I want a divorce. What's the makar / star of the Shita Chacham Lagabe Gershon Mace? According to the Tanakhama, by Gershon there's no, Lagabe Grusha there's no Ksuba because he can't divorce her against Oh, well, she's not called Avedah Letzia. By Misa, the Tana says, Kfar Shilin Laknas, the Makom Ktsuba. So he's paid already. He gave it the office. Question number 20, on which part of the Dibre Chacham is Rav Yosef Rebbe they're arguing? Remember, the way it's presented is Girsha, Mesa, and then Rav Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. We pointed out that it goes back on both. It obviously goes on Mesa, which is the more recent one, but it goes back on Girsha, because in the Tosefta, the little piece about Mesa is not there. It's just, the Chachamim say, since she's not Kala Ben Avlotzia, he therefore, there's no Ksuba, and Rav Yosef Rebbe Yehuda argues on that. Question number 21. The Gemara is mashma that the Chachamim either did or didn't institute a Ksuba Lanusa. But if Ksuba is the Raisa, what is it up to the Chachamim? So the answer is because she's not a Basula. Even if you hold Ksuba as the Raisa, it's only Ksuba's Basula. What did Tosus ask on this, I guess? And what did they answer? And what did Tosus Arash ask? Answer. Tosus asked the following question. In Ba'al Lev Shalokadarka, where he's Chayiv in Knas, and Mistama, he's also Chayiv in Ksuba because she's still a Basula. Of course, the next guy will be Chayiv Knas on her, and the next guy if they're Baal Shalok Adarka. So Tosfos says, in that case, why is it up to the Chachamim to be Misakin and Ksuba? So what does Tosfos HaRosh say? Correct. Not what somebody said in Shir in the name of Tosfos HaRosh, which was, they're not dealing with that case. We're even, really
yeah,
even now.
Was...
Okay. Question number...
Thank you for not citing me, by the way.
What?
Thank you for not citing me on who brought this.
I would not do that. That wouldn't be nice. Because this could be disturbing prosperity. It's only your voice identifying you here. What's that, Shua? I didn't hear what you said.
It's only now in public that we're going to identify you, not on paper.
I was identifying.
Yeah. I didn't even remember exactly who it was who had done it. So I wouldn't have named him anyway in the questions, but fine. That's the Kal Gadol. Okay. Anyway, question 22. What was Tosfos Kasha and Ksubas Almana? And what do they answer? What does the term Ksubas Almana mean in Tosfos? It doesn't mean a Ksuba that you give to a woman who was an Almana and you're married. Which if she's not a Psula, it's typically Mana. No, it means a Ksuba paid out to a woman when her husband dies, as opposed to when he divorces her. So Tosfos wanted to know, why in general is there a Ksuba by when a woman's husband dies? If the whole point is Shlote Kalo Vena Votzia, so unless you're trying to prevent suicide, for husbands whose wives are driving them crazy, you want to provide them with a disincentive to commit suicide because their estate will have to pay out a ksuba to this crazy woman. So barring that possibility, why do you have a ksuba for a woman whose husband dies? When he divorces her, I understand. Tosfos answers, Mishum China, that the woman will agree to marry the man in the first place. Okay. Question 24. How do we know that a mafata is not Shoseh Batzitza?
23.
Oh, okay, fine. You want to answer 23? I know. What's the primary difference between the reason why they're misaking Ksuba for Gerushin, and I don't know what that next word is. Ubein. Ubein is missing. And the reason they made it for an Almana, so I think I just... The primary difference is that the Ksuba for Gerushin is needed even while they're married. The Ksuba for an Almana is only needed to get them to marry in the first place. That's when it functions. There was a case where this came up. Okay. Question 24. How do we know that a mafata is not Shoseh Atzitza? So we said this earlier, Velosi Elisha. Tosus asked, how's that different? Mahari Maran Alo Elisha. Tosus wanted to know, why is that different than Velosi Elisha? Answer number one is that it's impossible by Ones that he should have a choice, because if he's not allowed to divorce her, it doesn't make sense to say he has a choice to refuse to marry her. And the alternative is who the subject of Lois, who's the subject of the sentence. One of them is on him, and one of them is on her. So when it's on him, he has a choice. When it's Velosi Elisha, when she's the subject of the sentence, so then he has no choice. Question 25, what is the explanation of Nimsa Badvar Erva? If she's Mizana when she is Tachtam, what's the Makar according to the Mishnah that Ones cannot marry an Anusa if she's Asura la Mishnah Davar Acher? The answer is, Velo Si Elisha Bar Uyala Akasim Adavar. Right. Question 26. What did Rav Kana ask on the din of the Mishnah? What did Rav Zir respond? He asked, Why don't we say aseh dechalos aseh? Rav Zvid said that since she has a right to refuse, there's no mitzvah aseh. That's what it sounds like. What did all the Rishonim ask on Rav Kahana, which is also the first question in 28, which is, the Rishonim will ask, what do you mean? The Mishnah says, befamish, that's exeris hakosim, you don't say aseh dechalos aseh. So why are you asking the question? Question 27, according to Rashi and Tosfos, which part of the Mishnah are those words going on? And how do they know that? They say it's going on Asura Bakohol, not on Nimsa Badvar Erva. Tosfos says why he says it, which is that Nimsa Badvar Erva is an Asay and a Lav, and everybody knows an Asay is not Dochan Asay and a Los Asay, whereas Asura Bakohol, like Mamzeres, like Messina if it's Minatorah, like Kutis if it's Minatorah, all of those are only Lav and they are not Asays. What is Tosfos' question on Rav Kahana's question and on Rav Zvid's answer? The question was, why are you asking? I say the chalos. I say the Mishnah has a favor shiriboy that it's not docha here. Here, and this question on Rav Zvi's teretz was that once you say that there's no asay, why do you need a riboy to say asay is not docha los asay? They have a after all, there is no asay here since she has a choice. There's no asay. So there are three temutzim in Tosfos. Question 29. The according to the first teretz, the meaning of the words velosi elisha beisha ruyalo. They're not learning a riboy from the pasuk that you don't say aseh dechalos aseh, but rather what they all we learned from the pasuk of Elosei Elisha is midaita. So the Gemara wanted to know why don't you say aseh dechalos? So I'd say from this they learned if she's not miskadeshes ela midaita, so then you shouldn't have kiddushin if she's asurlo, because if she doesn't want, there's no aseh. But the Gemara's question was, well, what if she doesn't want to marry him? Would there be an aseh there? The answer to the Gemara is, since she has a choice, there is no aseh at all. Second approach in Tosfos says, no, of course the Mishnah is learning through a riboy that you don't say aseh delchos aseh here. That's true in the third teretz as well. But in the second teretz, Tosfos says, the Gemara's question is, why did you darshan the pasuk that way? Why did you use the riboy to tell you that you can't marry those who asur bakal? Tafasta mubala tafasta, just learn that you don't marry Chaybe Krasus. The Gemara's answer is that once you have the Svara, that she has a choice, so then it doesn't make a difference. Once she has a choice to marry or not, there's no way to say that maybe, I don't think he says it's not an asay, but you're not going to say asay de chalos asay here. All right. And question 31, the third approach in Tosfos is to explain again that there is a riboy in the Mishnah. The Gemara's kasha was, not that an aseh should be docha los aseh, but if it's not docha the los aseh, why don't we learn from here to the rest of the Torah that aseh is not docha los aseh? The answer, the Gemara, is that since she has a choice, there is no mitzvah aseh, it's called, since she has a choice to refuse, it's called efshel lekayim shnehem. Unlike by chalitza or yibam, where we say that chalitza b'makom yibam lav klavu, here you would have thought the same thing, that the Torah has a preference that she marry him. Over she's deciding not to marry him. So kamash v'lan, that here, in this case, as opposed to yivachalitza, the Torah has absolutely no preference. If she doesn't want to marry him, it's equally lechatchila. Question 32. According to the Ramban in his first explanation, which part? Well, yeah.
Can we just clarify how that's the same thing as actual action?
In other words, if she says, I don't want to marry him, then he doesn't violate his law. They haven't been mevatel. In other words, they keep the law.
And
the assay is not put aside.
You're doing mekayim assay in the sense that they're not being mevatel.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Because the whole point is that we didn't say this in Shir, but now that you're pushing me on it, the whole point I think is that it's not. We talk about assay delochos assay. You're talking about what you might call a chiyuv an assay. In other words, you're really supposed to do the mitzvah. Here, the Torah really doesn't care. She just wants to protect her. If she's not interested, that's equally good in the eyes of the Torah. Right? Undoubtedly, you're not mechuyev to put on a beged of arba kanfos. But it's inconceivable to say that it's not better in the eyes of the Torah that you put a beged on that's mechayev you in tzitzis and then you put tzitzis on it. You're not mechuyev, and in many circumstances, we wouldn't advise you to do it. But in principle, clearly it's better to put on a beged of arba kanfos so you can put on tzitzis on that garment. Whereas it's not better that she marry him. Torah really doesn't care. It's just, it's almost a zechus for her to protect her. It's almost like a monetary zechus. By monetary issues, the Gemara doesn't say this, by monetary issues, you never say dechalos aseh. Okay. Otherwise, unfortunately, we would probably set aside most of the Siddur of the Torah. I have to make more money so I can support the yeshivas. So I'll say dechalos aseh. Okay, fine. Anyway, question number 32. According to the Ramban in his first explanation, what part of the Mishnah is the Gemara commenting on Bet Aseh and the Los Aseh? He says only on Nimsa Badvar Erva, because the Tosis is Kasha. If the Mishnah says Befeirush, the Lo Sieli Shebaruyelo, it can't go on Mamzeris and Kutis and the Sina. But rather it goes on Nimsa Badvar Erva, who, when she married him, was Mutter. She hadn't committed adultery. It's hard to commit adultery if you're not married. And then, once the assay was there, the assay remains, even though now there's a prohibition. Question 33, according to the Ramban in the second answer, it goes on the entire Mishnah. How do you answer the kasha that he had in his first parish? The answer is, like the third Teretz in Tosfos, that the Gemara's kasha really was, why didn't we learn from here that assay is not the lochalos assay, the cholatara kula? Question 34, how does the Ramban, in his first explanation, explain the Teretz of Rav Zvid? Explain well. So the Ramban says that since it's possible that the kasha was, whichever, it doesn't matter which side of the two ways of understanding the kasha. The Ramban says the answer of the Gemara is that since, the first answer he gives, is that since she has a choice to refuse to marry him, obviously she doesn't want to marry him. And therefore there's no assay. And even if she says, Be'ina, I want to marry him, we force it to say, lo be'ina. Because we know that deep down, that's really what she wants to not do. Okay. The second Teretz of the Ramban is more pedestrian and more mainstream. The Ramban says, in the second Teretz, that's question 36. Did I do 35? No, but let me do 36 first. I don't know why I split them up. I don't know if there's a logical reason. 36, according to the Ramban in the second interpretation, how do you understand Rav's Teretz? The answer is, this kind of an assay, where there's an option, is a weak assay. It's not an assay ashava. It's like an assay that's not shava bakol. And therefore, this assay, a weak assay, is not docha regulos assay. In the same way that the Gemara knew that a regular assay could be docha a weak lav, but that wouldn't prove to you, b'chala tara kula, that a regular assay is docha regular lav. That was the Gemara in Yevamah Stafe. Question 35, who is the assay velosi elisha upon, and what could you ask on the Gemara generally, and how can you respond? It only goes on the guy. The woman has no mitzvah, obviously. She does whatever she wants. The question one could ask is, if that's the case, why would you even be able to say assay should be dochalos assay? She has no assay. Him, it's an assay, but that's not her assay. For her, she's not fulfilling any mitzvah. So we answer that maybe you would say, like the Gemara in Pesachim has, that the Kohanim could bring the carbon of a mechusar kippurim, the burns, after the Tamat Shobein Arbayim, even though it violates the Aseh Dashlama, the Kohen violates the Aseh Dashlama, so the Bainim can fulfill the Aseh of Pesach. So you can see, you can say that sometimes, if it's impossible otherwise, you can violate an Aseh to enable, you can violate a Lav, or that was an Isser Aseh, you can violate a Lav so that someone else, if that's the only way for someone else to be Mekai in the Aseh, you also say Aseh Dechalos Aseh there. It's not just your personal Chiyuv or Kiyum, it's the Kiyum of the Mitzvahs. So if you have an Aseh and a Lav, your lav, my assay, and there's no way to do it without being docha. One, the answer is you violate the lav, and I can be mekayim the assay, and it's perfectly mutter for you. Okay. Question finally on this section 37. What does the ra'ah ask on the Gemara's question? Menesei assay menicha los assay, my favorite ra'ah. The ra'ah says, not that there's a reborn, there is no assay. Read literally, the Mishnah says that there's an assay to marry a woman you rape, if you're allowed to marry her. If you're not allowed to marry her, there is no pasuk that says, if she's asur bakol, there is no pasuk that says you're supposed to marry her. Period. Okay. How does he resolve the problem? The Ra'ah says, the Mishnah is an asmachta. The Mishnah is asmachta. Al bidin, the pasuk doesn't tell you anything about ru'yelo, eina ru'yelo. Eina ru'yelo. That distinction is as far as chachamim, that you're not allowed to marry her if she's eina ru'yelo. And the Gemara asks, why did the chachamim not think asay dechalos asay? And the Gemara answers with the explanation it gives. Question 38. What did Rabbeinu Tam say with respect to Mila Bitzaras and the Makor Aseh Dochalos Aseh? So Rabbeinu Tam said that the real Makor is Kilayim Bitzitzis, not Mila and Tzaras, because Mila and Tzaras, according to one Lashon in the Gemara and Rav Lezer de Mila, is an Aseh and a Los Aseh. 39. According to Reish Lakish, what Tanai is there in Aseh Dochalos Aseh? Efshe L'Kayim Shnei Mutavim Lav Yavo Aseh V'Yitchalos Aseh. It has to be Efshe L'Kayim Shnei. What the Tosfos asks from this dinner by Kilayim Betzitzis? Don't put on a four-corner linen garment and you won't have to put on woolen tcheles. How can one distinguish between Kilayim Betzitzis, which is considered Efshe L'Kayim Shnei, versus Ones B'Suriyah Kol, that she has to say Lo Be'ina? So we explain that when it comes to Ones, the Shasa Echreya is here right now. Right now, she's not allowed to marry you. Right now, there's a mitzvah saseh for him to marry her if she wants it. If you tell her right now, say, I don't want it. So that's called Efshel Lekayim Shneihem. However, when it comes to Kelayim Etzitzis, right now, there's a lo saseh of wearing shatneis. There is no shatneis, there is no mitzvah tzitzis. None. So at this particular point, it's not a question of doing both. There just is no mitzvah saseh of tzitzis. But when you put the beged on, at that very moment is when the chiyuv of tzitzis is created. Now, at that point, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, the only way to do it is by putting shatneis on this particular garment. That's what I thought the Ramban meant in his somewhat cryptic language. That was question number 40. Question number 41. Why do we say that you're allowed to put two strings of lavan of wool on a beged of pishtan if you could put pishtan? In other words, the two strings that are blue, the tcheles ones, have to be wool. We get that. But why are you allowed to put the two white ones, the shtechutim lavan, on a beged shel pishtan? And then why, from that the Gemara extrapolates, why are you allowed to put two chutim of pishtan on a beged of tzemer, since you could put wool for all four strings on the beged of tzemer, tcheles and the white? So the answer to the first question is im klar as klar. Once you're putting kelayim, it's so it seems. That's what Tosfos says. Once you're putting the tcheles in, the beged's kelayim already. Adding two more strings of wool is lo ma'alav lo morin. Based upon that, Tosfos says, is amigo. Since you're allowed to use two strings of lavan of tzemer in a pishtan garment, you're allowed to use two strings of pishtan. It's the Gemara. You're allowed to use two strings of pishtan in a woolen garment, even though by the woolen garment it's totally unnecessary. You don't have to have any shatnez there. So, what was Tosfos's suffix about kilayim and mitzvah tcheles? The question was, are you only allowed to have kilayim when you have tcheles in the baguette or not? Why was Tosfos mesupak that maybe you could do it even without tcheles? So the answer is that in a case where you have tzemer, a baguette shel tzemer, and you put tcheles in there, the reason why you're allowed to put two strings of lavan on a pishtim is not because the beged is already kelayim. It's not. When you put the two strings of tcheles in, it's wool on wool. So the fact that you're allowed to put two strings of pishtim in there really has nothing to do with the fact that there's tcheles in the talus. Bishlama, by a linen garment, when you put the two strings of tcheles in, that's why you can put ostensibly two strings of wool for the white in, because it's already shatneis. But in a beged shel tzemer, the tcheles doesn't make it shatneis. So you see that the tcheles is not really the goreim for the heter. So Tosfos thought maybe when you have a beged where you just don't have tcheles, you're still allowed to put two of the white strings of shatneis can be put in there just without tcheles. Tosfos says you can't make all four lavan shatneis, but you can make two of shatneis perhaps even without tcheles. That was Tosfos' suffix. So we had a big, big kasha on the Balei Tosfos. This was Moshe's kasha, which is according to what Rabbeinu Tam himself says earlier, you're not allowed to make all four chutim of lavan. Why should that be? After all, let's take the... according to one tzad suffik in Tosfos, if the tzad that says you don't need cheles in order to put kelayim in, think about it. We have a garment that has four strings. Two of them are wool white, two of them are linen white on a woolen garment. Now, Rabbeinu Tam said, you can't make all four of them linen white. And my question to you is as follows. Once you're willing to allow putting two strings of white in the garment of pishtim, because two are allowed, at that point, and even though there's no tcheles in it, at that point, what's the big deal? Why can't you make the other two also? It's already shatnez. Who cares whether they're tcheles or not? Because the tcheles is clearly, fundamentally, if you believe that tcheles is not goreim, once you put two in, because that's mutter always, even without tcheles, then why can't you put the other two in? Bishlama, if you say that the heter of shatneis is only when you actually have tcheles in the garment. So when you put the two strings of pishtim in, the reason why you can't make the other two strings of pishtim are because they have to be tcheles, which means wool. So it's just memela you can't get four strings. But if you want to accept the tzad that you don't need tcheles to be docha, then once you can put two pishtim in the tzemer garment, why not put the other two as well? Excellent. And I still don't know the answer to the question. Question 44. What's the din according to Rabbi Lazar by Baal Yisomish and Nisarsav and Niskarsha? What the din is that ones chay b'fata pater. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar holds like his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, that so much in the Sarash and the Skarsha, yesh laknas uknas aliyatzma. And where did he get it from, according to the Gemara? From the Yitor of Yisoma. Okay? Because it says Yisoma, Shanisarsim and Isgarsha. Who needs Yisoma there? Truth is, who needs Nisarsim and Isgarsha? But okay. The Chiddush of Nisarsim and Isgarsha is like Rabbi Akiva. Question 45. How can one understand the Mishnah according to Rashi Shita, the way the Gemara works over it, and how, according to the Ramban, according to Shita Satosis, with the Ramban was Dochek, which he doesn't believe in, but he gave a Yisha Fatosis. According to Rashi, it's simple. The Mishnah is talking about two cases, Yisoma and Nisarsim and Iskarsha, and the Mishnah is telling you they have the same din. Namely, by the Knas of Ones and Mefata, Ones Chayiv, Mefata Potter. Why? Because the Mechila works on the Knas. In the case of Yisoma, no father. It goes to Har. In the case of Nisarsim and Iskarsha, for the purposes of Knas, there's no father, like Rabbi Akiva. But it goes to Har. Now, according to the Ramban, what you have to say is the following. There are really two parts to the Mishnah. Number one, the Mishnah tells you that Nisarsim and Iskarsha dina ki yisoma le'inyan ha-knas. That Nisarsim and Iskarsha has knas and knas le'atzma. By the way, yisoma, with respect to Onis and Mefata, by boshes of gum, not by the knas. Because according to Tosos, there's no mechila on the knas, ever. So, boshes of gum, by yisoma, Onis chai mefata pater. By Nisarsim and Iskarsha, that's not true. Why not? By Yisoma, by Nisarsim and Iskarsha, why is it not true that by Boshes Upkam, Ones Chayav Mefata Pater?
Because the father is still...
Because the father still gets the Boshes Upkam. It's just a Knas he doesn't get. And therefore, Har Mechila can't possibly work on the Boshes Upkam. The only thing Har Mechila might work on by Nisarsim and Iskarsha, the only thing could be the Knas. Okay. Question 46. Akolithia Mavayish in Spanish. How does Rashi explain? Rashi says, Legabe Mevayish, if you do the embarrassing, an Adam Beinoni is worst. That's the biggest boshes. Whereas, Legabe Misbayish, it's just a sliding scale. The more elevated you are socially, the greater the shame. Rashi apparently thought that being insulted by someone really important, by someone totally not important at all, are the two best scenarios. One, because I'm chashuv enough to be insulted by the president, and the other one is nobody even pays attention to this lowlife. Question number 47. What was the Gemara's kasha on the Torah's obligation of paying 50? Question was, how do you know that 50 is not all-encompassing of all the damages? The Gemara's docha the teretz is that the 50 would be unjust. The Gemara initially said, well, you pay 50 for the princess, and you pay 50, you know, for the homeless woman in the street, or the daughter of the homeless man in the street. So the Gemara said it seems unfair, but the Gemara points out that sometimes kenasos don't work out that way, like the Shloshim Shalavit. Abaye says it's learned from Tachas or Mimbek, which, it says Tachas Asherina, Mechwal Deish Rosh Hashabgam, and Rava says, maybe I got this backwards, Hashochev, Ima, Hanah, Shriva is 50, but you have to pay obviously for the rest. How do we know that Boshes Hashabgam go to the father? And what was the Havamin? I'm sorry this question was misleading, it's not a separate question. What was the Havamin and what was the Maskana? Havamin was Binu Rabbe Savia, Kol Shevach Nurim La'av. The Gemara does reject that because that's by Nadarim, by Isser Veheter. You can't learn Mammon for Isser Veheter. So instead, the Gemara's answer is that because he could marry her off now to a Manuva Lamuke Shchin, and embarrass her and humiliate her that way, the Boshes Pagam belong to him. Question 49, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, why does the Pagam Bia, what Nezek is in there, a Shifcha, who is sold in the Shuk, who cares whether she's a virgin or not? The answer is, according to the Gemara, if an owner has an Eved who he likes very much and he wants to get him a Basula, as opposed to Ba'ula, so the Basula is nicer. Okay, fine. For a Megamlio, we're acquiring a Shifcha. For Tevi,
fine.
Tevi probably would have considered beneath it for him, even as an Eved, to consort with a Shifcha. Yes? What?
No.
Okay. Question number 50. According to the Ushalmi, Hagadol, Boshto Maruba Benizka Mamuat. If you're going to tell a joke, you have to share it with everybody.
For some of these questions, I might have taken liberty to write some especially sort of sexist humor answers. And Sam said he wants to know from those.
Are you, dating
those
already?
Wrong and I'm getting right.
Are you dating already? Because, you know, you might be taped and that could ruin your shidduch on why you connect. So. Or otherwise. Okay.
There are ways to get shidduch from other.
$20 now if anybody wants to bet on Brick doing his shidduch through why you connect. Okay. I don't actually bet, so you won't call it that. But I don't like to take somebody's money for nothing anyway. So fine. Okay. I didn't say that he's not going to be, you know, a valuable commodity when it comes to the dating scene. I just said he's not going to YU Connect. That's all. I didn't say that you were. I didn't say that you were. I just said that I didn't say that you were. I just didn't say that you were. That's all. I wasn't offering an opinion. There we go. Fine. Anyway, question him. Exactly. Thank you, counselor. All right. Question number 50. According to the Yushalmi, what does it mean? Gadol boshto meruba of niska mavot. So I think we agree. Boshto meruba means when he embarrasses somebody. I'm sorry, boshto means the embarrassment he experiences. Nisko mamuat, I thought it meant that when he does damage, this was the Karban Eda, if he does damage, he embarrasses someone, it's less embarrassing for the person because he's important. It's not so bad to be humiliated by the President of the United States. But if some of you wanted to suggest, as other Mefarshim suggest, I think the Pnei Moshe, is that the nezek suffered by a girl from a wealthy family when she's raped is less than that of someone from a shofel because her shidduch chances are still much better. Hakesef, yanes, hakol. All right, question number 51. I almost feel like just putting up the next three questions on the board for you. What are the four stages? 0 to 3 in a day, 3 in a day to 12 in a day, 12 in a day to 12, 6 in a day, 6 months in a day, and 12, 6 months in a day until you die. Question number 52. By each of the stages, is there mecha or knas according to Rabbi Meir?
Did you want your shopping answer or the Babas?
The Yushalmi is a toast sofer in the way that we have it. So therefore, it's
the
Babas.
That's
fine.
Hold on.
What? No, hold on. Question 52. The answer for the four stages of Rabbi Meir is mecher, mecher, knas, nothing. According to the Chachamim, the answer for the four stages is mecher, mecher, knas, and nothing.
Wait, the first stage for the Chachamim is...
mecher only, before up to 3 years in a day. There can't be knas, there's no bia.
No, but there is mecher.
Yes, before age of 3 in a day. Who was buyer at that stage, I'm not sure, but that's a separate question. Okay. It's a little creepy, actually, but whatever. Fine. Question 54. In what case are you chayiv skila on an ashes ish, according to a mayor, according to Chachamim, nara besula marasa v'esavir, the Chachamim ed katana? Question 55. What is the din by mode, someone who's mode that he was onas apita bito shaploni, potter on the knas, because in an mashan knas apinatzmo, he pays boshes upagam because it's mamon. What's the din if he says, harag shoro es adam, he pays because it's the kofar is mamon, Avdo Shaladam is Knas, he doesn't pay. What was Rabbi Yitzchak Shaila in the Yushalmi with respect to Shloshim Shal Eved? He wanted to know whether that was all Knas or partially Mammon. And they asked from him, he suggested the possibility that it was includes his Damim, plus the rest of the 30 would be a Knas. They asked the Kasha from the Mishnah and Shavuos, that you're potter on a Karban Shavuos Hapikadon, if you're taina that the guy owes you, he owes you Shloshim Shal Eved, well, why aren't you chayev on the shvuah since part of the shloshim shalavet is mamon? The answer, the Yushalmi, is that's a case where the eved was a mukesh shchin, where his market value is zero. Question number 57. What did the Yushalmi ask from Hamish Shar Chesbini? How did they answer, and how did they once again ask the question, and what does this tell us about the din of Dmei Nizik Dmei Mazik? With respect to Kofi, the Yushalmi said, if that's the case, when you say that my shor killed your son, why are you chayev on a Karban Shvua, you don't owe the guy anything, because how much is the kofar for his son, who must be parallel to an Eved as a Mukei Shchin? How much is the kofar on an Eved, on a Ben Chorin as a Mukei Shchin? The Gemara Yushalmi's assumption is zero, because what do you pay? The main Nizek. How much is the Nizek worth? Zero. So the Yushalmi answers, this is according to the Nandamar, the Meimazek. So the Yushalmi says, wait, but if you hold the Meimazek, then that's not Mammon anymore, that's like Knas. So we pointed out that the Yushalmi's understanding is that the Meimazek means that it's kapara, it's not mamon. It's more like knas. It's not knas, but it's like knas in that you're not paying tashlumin, you're not filling in, it's not compensatory. Whereas, if you hold the meinizak, obviously it's compensatory. That was the havamin of the Bavli, which Rapapa, somewhere in the fourth parak of Bava Kamma, says, not necessarily. He doesn't categorically object him, he says it doesn't have to be read that way, but the Yushalmi's reading is the meinizak means it's mamon, the meinizak means it's kapara. Kufra kapara, kufra mamon. Okay, question number 58.
According to Yerushalmi, do you have to pay Knas Kedei Letzei Shidei Shemayim? The answer is no. They proved it from the story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, in which he didn't actually free him, even Letzei Shidei Shemayim. If they were the Chiv Letzei Shidei Shemayim, Rabbi Gamliel would certainly have freed him. Question 59. According to the Bryce, yes?
I guess, isn't there an issue of freeing an Eved?
Yes, but if you're mechuyev to do so, you have to free him. And
right,
even if mechuyev would be only be day shemayim,
even if it's only still
yes, presumably because the way that we shown him, I think, understand, and it's strange, it's a little odd. I think some understand that the issur of freeing an eved is like a matnas chinam to a guy. So if you're not doing it bechinam, I mean, if someone pays you full value for the eved to set him free, I don't think there's an issur of freeing your eved. But if you just stomp for your eved, it's asur. Right, you knock out his eye. If the Eved somehow redeems himself, that doesn't violate the Aseh of freeing him because it's not Bechinam. Therefore, the assumption will be is that if you're doing it because you really Mechuyi Velatzei Sidei Shemayim, it wouldn't be free either. It wouldn't be Bechinam. Okay. I didn't spell that at the time, but that was what I was thinking. Question number 59. According to the Braisa that's brought in the Bavli, what's the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Whether it's Knas by a Katana. What's the makor for Shitas Rabbi Meir? Velo Siel Yisha, the Mahaves Atzma Akasim Adaber. Question 60, makor the Shitas Chachamim. The Gemara says that Nara Afilu Ketana Mamashma. What did that mean? So Shlaim wanted to suggest it was dependent upon the Gemara's comment later, Nara Malaya, which means in the fullest sense. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And I thought that it was based upon a concept similar to the Yushalmi, was that Nara written without a hey is masculine, and a girl who is a Ketana is someone who you often can't tell the difference between the male and the female gender without, you know, proper examination, which normally can't be done. Okay, question number 61. I'm sorry, 60.
61.
No, 60. I'm sorry, 61. What's it then according to Reish Lakish by Motzi Shemer ala Katana? The answer is, you are a chayev. The diuk was that Nara Malaya Diber HaKosuv. I guess that really was Hasber, but, oh, I'm sorry. Then the Gemara says, how could you, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that by Motzi Shemra? She's not a bas onshin if she's a katana. So how do you fulfill Memesaya Davarzel on Mitzuv Vesulman Rav, Utsir Sanara, El Pesach Pesavir Uskalua? So obviously the pasuk's talking about a gedola, a nara, not a katana. The Gemara's answer is that no, what the drasha really tells you is that here, where we know it's a gedola, where it's a nara, and the Torah uses the hay, tells you that here, nara, when it's spelled with a hay, is a gedola, but elsewhere, it's even katana b'mashma. What? What did I just say? I apologize. It can't be. Well, it is. The pasuk can't be by a katana because she's not a bas onshin. She's petura. The pasuk is talking about someone who's a bar chiyuv. I wasn't being mechadish in the din. That line was like the Yushalmi on the stages. Just the toes so far. Okay, toes apeh. Sorry about that. Question. Okay, fine. Question number 62. What did Tosus ask on Rav Adda Barava's question? Why did Rav Adda Bar Rava think it was muchach that the pasuk has to be talking only about nara and adaktana? Maybe the parts of the parasha that are relevant to both are relevant to both, like the kanas part, and maybe the parts about kilihar, givir skila, are only relevant to where it's relevant, namely to nara. In other words, as I use the expression in one of the upcoming questions, why can't you have half a loaf? Now, according to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, you're not chayev on a skila and a nara marasa until she is nara besula marasa besavia. Nara excludes a bogeres and a katana according to Rabbi Meir. Besula excludes a bula. Morasa excludes a nesua, even if she wasn't nevela. And besavia excludes masarav l'shlichabal. So again, the only machlokes is katana excluded or only bogeres by nara. Question 64. Three answers to Tosis briefly. First answer. The Tosis kasha was, why did Rav Adda Bar Rava not realize that you could take half a loaf? You could split what the parasha is talking about. Part of the parasha talks only about katana, part talks about nara and katana. Answer number one was that the Gemara didn't know that you could cut a loaf in half, and that's part of 65, by the way. You didn't know you could cut a loaf in half until it got to the maskana of the sugya that taught you that there's a distinction, by when you kill someone, when you kill a guy who finds a nara marasa in the city, and you kill her too, that parasha only applies to the girl is only when she's a nara. It does not apply when she's a ketana, but we kill the boel either way, whether she's a nara or ketana, according to the chachamim. Once we know that you can split a parasha in half, we can do the same thing by motzi shema. The second Teretz HaTosfos says, of course we knew you could split a loaf in half, but they didn't think that it was shayach to motzi shemra. The Rav Adar Bar Rava's question is, it's not shayach to have a motzi shemra by a ketana, because motzi shemra is only a motzi shemra. But if you're talking about a ketana, where pitu ketana onesu, saying that your wife was raped is not motzi shemra. It might be embarrassing, but it's not motzi shemra. Saying that a ketana committed znus is not motzi shemra, because pitu ketana onesu. And the third Teretz HaTosfos is, you would have thought that you're only chayev min asfara, you're only chayev on her kanas of otzah shemra and the punishment, the malkos, if you tried to get the girl, your wife killed. But if you didn't try to get your wife killed because she was a ketana, at birth, at best, according to the Rambam, you can be master of the ksuba and asr herself to you, so then, of course, you're not going to give him the punishment of motzi shemra, because obviously the svara by motzi shemra is because he tried to get her killed. Question number 65 was no, yes, and yes. Okay, fine. I explain that in 64. 66. How did the Rif Paschal and the Machlokas remain the Chachamim Paschal like the Rabbanon? Three proofs. Zo Divrei, a Rabbi Meir, Ava Chacham Omrim, Zo Velo Sfirulei. Two. The Sugya Beger Bekeber is Mashmak Rabbanon, certainly at the beginning. Number three. Reish Lakish's Memra is Mashmak Rabbanon. Yes.
65.
The 65 was no, yes, yes. Yes, so for each of the three, l'chol echad me'a teirutzim shel Tosfos. There are three teirutzim in Tosfos. According to the first one, they didn't know. It wasn't muvan me'elav. It wasn't self-understood. It wasn't obvious in the outset. Okay? So, the answer is no, yes, yes. Okay. That's an Avram Bronstein type answer. Okay. Fine. Question number... What was that?
Saying it to me,
no. Well, some of you may have heard that I may have mentioned in previous bechinas.
Yes.
Yes. No. He mastered writing bechinas when I would give, and these were not these kind of bechinas. I mean, they weren't listening longer, but I've asked questions unseen before, and he would answer one page of an example, one page of these example books, and he would turn in routinely hundreds. Because he knew, understood the question. He knew that when he knew the answer, and usually that was he knew the answer, and he read it succinctly. He didn't write any Megillah. I don't suffer reading your Megillahs now because you can write whatever you want. You have to grade it yourself. You're on your honor, and that's fine, and I trust you, but I don't have to read it. But he would write, I didn't have to read a Megillah. He, one line, he was, no cave, exactly, he go at the start, exactly where to go. Some, I get students. It's not the only student I've ever had like that, but it was called the Bronstein.
It was Risho, not an opera.
He was called, we used to call it the Bronstein bonus once upon a time. That if you answered on one side of a sheet or not, you got an extra 5 points or something. Okay. All right. That's I the only thing bad about that, it's a little bit, well, it's a little bit like, you know, the rich get richer. Because in order to, the truth is it's not always true. The rich and the poorest get richer. If you don't know anything, you hand in a blank exam, so you get the 5 points too, because you answered all with the one sheet. Okay, so anyway, back to our show. Question number 66 again. Okay, I'm sorry, I did 66, but we were still stuck on 65. What are the three rayas for the Rif Paskinim like the Chachamim? Number one, Rabbi Yehuda says, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir, Zo Velo Sfirulei. Number two, the Sugya Beger Bekever in the first part is only works Vali by the Rabbanim, and at least so the Rif claims. And part number three, the Meimer of Reish Lakish is Mashmak Rabbanim. Okay, Reish Lakish who says you give, the assumption is that you give Skila to the guy who is Boel Ketana Morasa by Motzi Shemra. That's Shaloa Libid Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds you only give a skila when she's a gadola. On that note, by the way, just on question, did I not answer the question earlier? Did I skip over that when I explained Rav Yoshi and Rav Yonasan? Or I didn't get to it yet. I just don't know if I stated it orally. Would I ask about the Gemara and Sanhedrin? Or not yet? Okay, well, we'll see where I forget to. How did the Ravid paskin? He paskin like Rabbi Meir. His rayas basically were the Stam Mishnayos. He was docha the Rish rayas. Sometimes we say Zovah Svirulei. You don't have to write this. The chios. And he thought that he said that the maskana of the sugya Beger Bekever was lav dachka chacham kibot chacham Rabbi Meir. And the raya from Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish only said it to explain alibah the chachamim. How did the Ramban lean and why? The answer is towards the Rif. The reason he says, since he thought it wasn't Mukhra, But since it's not mukhra, yachad rab halacha karabim. The one thing the Ramban wondered about the Rif is why he brought a raya from the sugya beggar bekever, since in the maskana, it didn't work only alib b'd chacham, it worked even alib b'd ramer. What additional makor did Tosus bring for the raivid, and how was he dochet in the maskana? He brought the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. I said 69 already.
Oh, okay. 70. Yeah, that's right. I also wrote in the
So the Ramban pointed out that the Mishnah, that Ein Adam Chayav Skila and Achite Nara Basula Marasa Bevesafiha is like Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says. So, and more to that, more to the point, he says that Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan are arguing with Inshita's Rabbi Meir. And I don't know, this was in an earlier question, I think. Oh, it's question 63. I forgot the second half of 63. Who is the Tana of the Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. What do Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan argue about according to Rabbi Meir? Since you don't give Skila, you don't give Skila unless if she is a katana to the Boel, what do you give the Boel? One Tana said you give him Chenek. The other one says he's off the hook. All right, so the Ramban says, why are Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan arguing with Inshita's Rabbi Meir? So the Ramban suggests that you can actually split the machlokas. You could theoretically paskin like the Chachamim Legabe Knas of One Simafata against Rabbi Meir, and you could paskin like Rabbi Meir by the din of the skila, she has to be a nara. She has to be getting the skila as well. Ramban says they're not necessarily haba hatalia. Question 71.
Okay.
Explain briefly the distinction between Ein Adam Mishalem Knas al Piatzo and Moda B'Knas Potter. Ein Adam Mishalem Knas al Piatzo is not a poter, it's just not Mechayev you. Moda B'Knas Potter means Moda B'Knas, you're always potter, even if Edom come afterwards. How do we paskin? We paskin that Moda B'Knas is a permanent poter, provided that it is Mechayev you to pay something. If your Hodah was cheap because it cost you nothing, you're not Chayev to pay, but if the Edom come later, you're going to have to pay. I believe I didn't check since Shir. I think it's Rav Hamnuna and Bava Kam. You don't need to say that. It's okay. Question 72. Why, according to the Gemara, did the Mishnah leave out Anastis Pita Shaploni? Why did it pick PTC? The Gemara says, because you would have thought by PTC, he doesn't even pay Boshe Sukkam because he's not Nemon, because he's slandering the girl. When he says Anasti, it's all about him. PTC, he's Motzi Shemra Allah as well. So you would have thought you don't believe him to be Mechayev and Boshe Sukkam, to be Machzat Allah's. The answer is you do. However, that was, of course, Shitas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Huda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, is that you don't believe him. According to the Gemara, what if she and her father and all the family members don't care on the Pagam Mishpacha? According to Rishim Rabbi Huda, so the Gemara says, some family member, some uncle, I don't know, who's that uncle who nobody ever sees? The strange uncle, what's his first name? Uncle somebody? I don't know. Whoever it be, your Uncle Harry. Uncle Harry, you know, who always is a curmudgeon. So Uncle Harry, somewhere in Medina Sayam, is unhappy about the Pekah Mishpacha. So is there ever a case where Bishim Rabbi Huda would be Moda? And the answer is, yes, the Rashba and Tosa says, a Ger. Gioris, in other words, she's a Gioris, or her parents are Ger. If they say, we're happy, then there are no relatives of Medinas Hayam. Question 74, the Machlokas in the nature of Tashlume Chatzi Nezek, Kanas or Mamon, the Yisod is, whether Stam Shvar and Becheskas is Shimur Kaimi or not. If they are Becheska Shimur, then you should really be potter on everything. The fact that you're chayiv on a knas, half is a knas. If you say that Stam Shvarim La Becheska Shimur Kaimi, you're really responsible for it, and if you don't, you really should have paid Nezek Shalem, but the Torah is making it on you, but it's still Mamam. How can one explain the Mishnah's term in Bava Kama? Hamazik Vanizek B'Tashlumen, according to Rav Papa, and according to Rav Huna Brei Yoshua. According to Rav Papa, that Chatzi Nezek is Mamam. So it's simple. Really, when you're sure Tom does Nezek, you're supposed to pay Nezek Shalem. So then the Nezek is really entitled to half, full damages. The fact that you only pay him half means he's essentially paying half for the damage. However, if you hold like Rehuna Ben Yeshua, what is such a case? Where, after all, by right, the Nezek is entitled to nothing. So really, whatever he collects is a bonus. So you have to say that refers to Pachas Nevela. Question number 76. Which two questions did they ask on the Amoraim with respect to Chatzi Nezek and its nature from our Mishnah? How do they resolve it? On one side, if Chatzi Nezek is Knas, why did the Mishnah choose the liminal case of Hema Shora Avdo Shaponi, Ploni? You could have said that my Sharm Tom gored somebody, sure, that's knas, if you hold palganiska knasa, and you should be potter on that. You didn't have to have hamis avdo shoploni, right? You could have kept it closer to the original case. In other words, nezek shalem, you pay his mamam. Hatzi nezek, you don't pay al pi atzmo because it's knas. Gemara's answer is that the Mishnah is dealing only with a muad. All right, mitzad hasheni, the question asked against the shita that it's also against the same shita. I'm sorry, they're both on the same shita. Asked against Rav Huna b'Rid Rav Yeshua, if in fact Palga Niska is Kanasa, the Mishnah says, Kala Mashalim, yes, Ramasha, he's a Genim Shalom Apiatzmo. But if you pay less than you the damage, Mistama, you do pay Apiatzmo. Why should you pay Chatzi Nezek if, in fact, it is Kanas? Why you pay Apiatzmo? The Gemara's answer is that no, don't be Medayek. Don't be Medayek that Ha Pachos Masha Hizik Mashalim Apiatzmo, but rather, Ha Masha Hizik, or Kimasha Hizik Mishalam Apiatzma. Question 77, what kind of Chatzi Nezek is Mamon according to everybody? The answer is Tsoros. What's the Makar? Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The dancing chickens. Question 78, we will have none of those at the barbecue. If there is chicken, I don't know if there is chicken, it's dead, so it won't dance. If it dances, we're in a lot of trouble. Question 78, why don't they collect Chatzi Nezek in Bavel, and what cases can you collect for someone who does live in Bavel? The answer is we don't collect because you only have demon shlich. You need smuchim, real rabbis, not fake rabbis that we have today. Okay, I'm a fake rabbi. So we need real rabbis with real smicha, and only they can judge dinei krasos. You need smuchim, but we do shlichus of the based in Eretz Yisrael from once upon a time with two criteria: milsa de shlicha and ispei chisaron kis. Ooh, I have the answer here. And when can you be? How can you collect for someone who lives in Bavel? One of two ways: either you kovei asman to go to Eretz Yisrael to the Beis Din there, and if he doesn't want to go, they'll put him in chayrim. Alternatively, you can be tofes. If you're tofes, lemavkin amine. Question number 79: is one allowed to raise a dangerous dog in your house? The answer is no. The source is losan susan dam vesecha. You're only allowed to have it be ear. Hasamuch l'sfar, you tie it up during the day in chains, in metal chains, and you let it roam free at night. Okay, that's 79 questions.
Did he say you could have one if you needed it for self-defense? Like
that's the point. That's what, samuch l'sfar doesn't mean we don't care if it damages, you know, in the neighboring country. Samuch l'sfar is your defense. Yeah, Alex? Lo sasim damim b'vesa. The Mishnah Baba Kama in the, I think it's the 7th or 8th parak. Okay. fine. Question number 80. I'm looking forward to all of this. Can someone tell me what the answer to this question is? If you didn't, consult with me. Nagar and Sprangorftok, they were not here actually for this piece. I said the following. We started this year, so we get to close a beautiful, neat circle. We read the Ramban. And the Ramban explained that Mefateh sounds as if the guy sneakily seduces her, promises her, sweet talks her into doing something she really ensemble doesn't want to do. He doesn't force her. It's not me. So I asked the following question. It sounds like from the Ramban, what if she dresses up and she seduces him and she talks to him in a way and she is the instigator here? Sounds like from the Ramban, even the Ramban doesn't say it, that maybe there would be no knas. There would be no knas. So I read the Rambam much later in the year, sometime in the last several months. And the Rambam says as follows. I'm going to read the Rambam. Ani omer shezeshen emer b'torah t'chalalas b'tchalas nosav. Shelo yomer ha'av. Ho'a v'alochi b'torah b'mefat deva ones, ela sheyitin mamal la'av. Hareini socher b'tia b'sula l'ze lavoa l'abachom mamal she'erza. The father will use his daughter as a prostitute. Oh, aniach ze lavoa l'abachinam. Or, I don't mind, not a prostitute. I'll mind, they want to live together, great, beautiful. I don't mind if they cohabit. Sheyesh la'adam limcho v'litem amon l'chom mishayirza. It's my monetary right. L'chein l'chach ne'mar. Do not defile your daughter, do not profane her to have her commit snus. That's b'she'ira ha'davar mikre, shalomi das aviho, v'lo hechina atzma lakach. The only time we say that mefateh is a mamonos issue is when it happens by chance, not when the father set it up or when she did it, right? Hechina atzma lakach. Because that's where the Torah said that it's uncommon.
Okay,
That's the issue of Kedesha. Out of wedlock. Deliberately done that way. There's no mamon there. Shalochi v'tora knas ala ones umafate. Abol zo shehichina atzma lakach beimidaita beimidas avia harot harei zo kedesha. V'isur kedesha echad hu beim besula beim mula. Doesn't matter whether she's a virgin or not. Ulafikacha muchacham sheyotze l'shema miladusa in laknas k'mo shebe'anu sharei zo b'cheska shechira atzma l'davar zebertona. So I asked the Rambam, it's clear to me, according to the Rambam, if the girl dresses up in inappropriate clothing and she speaks in a sultry voice and she seduces the guy and he falls prey to heart the temptation, he doesn't have to pay knas. What's the Rambam's marker for this then? What?
He kind of quotes it though.
He does! But the chiddush is, he quotes it, but you have to think about what did the Gemara say and how is the Rambam reading the Gemara? What Gemara was the marker for the Rambam? What? Hayotzeis mishum shemra. And then the Gemara explains that means yotza aleha shemra. So now, what's the great novelty in the Rambam? So we read the Gemara as follows, and I still don't know how the Rambam really can get away with this. The Gemara says, what is yotza aleha shemra? That we have witnesses that she approached them and tried to seduce one of them. She solicited one of them. Now what did those two eidim do? They refused. And the way we understood the Gemara is, why you put down a knas on such a girl? The answer is, because Bistama, two other guys, you know, in that story, you'd see, not the accountant, but the other guy, listened to her entreaties and slept with her, and therefore, why is there no knas?
She's
not a basula. She's becheskas not being a basula. But the Rambam apparently thought, no, Yotza La Shemra shows, I'm sorry to say, that she's a slut, and she goes around trying to seduce men. And therefore, Mistama, when she was a basula when she slept with this guy. But what are we assuming? Mistama, she was mafata him, not the other way, and therefore he's pata from the kanas. Fascinating. What's the one problem? Yes, Sam?
In the beginning it asks, at least it's a question. In the beginning it asks, oh, it can't be real in such a way because of baskila. But it seems to be the Gemara has an issue with making it a kimlay thing.
Don't worry about the beginning. What's wrong in the maskada? Unless the Rambam had some kind of another girsa. I didn't think the Nosei Kalim on the Rambam say anything about this. Unless the Rambam had another girsa, the Gemara says that as opposed to by shtar, that it's not likely or clear that he's going to be able to find someone to forge a shtar for him. Here, the Gemara says that ha-chasam shchichi prutzim. Right, so it sounds like because Shlichi Putzim, Mistama, she found another customer. Therefore, she's not a Basula. But the Rambam, seemingly ignoring that line, unless he had a different girsa, unless he read it differently, says, Mistama, she seduced him. Even if she was a Basula, Yotza Lashemra tells us something about her character, and therefore, it's not Ones and Mefata anymore. And that's a crucial line in the Rambam, by the way. He says, Lochiva Torah, Ella la ones umefata. What does that mean? Ones, we understand. What does mefata mean? Mefata means, I think, he is the instigator. He seduces her. Avazoshe china atzma lakach beimidata meimidasavia arosa kadesha. That's not a mefuta anymore. Premeditated is not mefuta. Okay, anyway, so that's what I think that the Rambam actually, that's where he's coming from. He does quote his makar, but the real novelty is, how is he reading the Gemara? Again, I don't know what to do, excuse me, with the Kasha, but I do understand how he's reading the Gemara. Sam?
So the question I kind of have, I'm not sure it's a question, though, is, in the beginning, I asked, why can't it be a dream with Shemra? Because she's a prostitute. Seems like the issue there is Kimlay, right?
Yes.